Morning there was four miracles that happened at the cross that never happened at another time. First, what I'll be preaching about this morning is the death of the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten. And I love this Bible term for whosoever. I'm glad He died for us all. So that's the death of the cross. And there was something happened, Brother Mike, and that day there was a darkness at the cross. It had never happened. It was a universal darkness. Darkness fell on the face of the earth. And then three, it was a discovery. The Bible said the veil of the temple was rent. Big, thick curtain. There it protected the holy place where the high priest would only go in one time a year and offer the sins or the sacrifice for the sins of the people. But then fourthly, that time there was a great shaking. A lot of graves were open. It was a disruption. This morning, let's look at the death of the cross. Matthew 27, the Bible said in verse number 27, if you'll stand with us one moment, we're going to read this text and you can be seated. Matthew 27:27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus in the common hall and gathered to Him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped Him. Put on Him a scarlet robe. One of the writers said a purple robe, the same identity. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And watch your Bible, they spit on Him. And took the reed and smote Him on the head. And after that, they had mocked Him. They took the robe off from Him. Put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear His cross. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. Verse 35, they crucified Him. Parted His garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. And the last verse I want to read while we're standing and sitting down, they watched Him there. You may be seated this morning. So, Father, we love You. And we thank You for this time that we've been able to gather together today. Lord, to worship You in spirit and in truth, You have set aside this day for that we that know Christ to worship You. And I'm thankful on this Sunday morning I'm in the house of God. Lord, I can see, I can walk, and I can breathe, and I want to thank You for that. I want to thank You for Your goodness. And as these young ladies have sang today, I want to thank You. That You're someone that we can sing about and sing to. Help us in the preaching now. I pray that Lord, You'd use this text today to challenge and show our hearts. Thank You for what You've done for us. We want to pray for our nation. We want to pray for those families that's been heartbroken in that tragedy at Winder, Georgia this week. God, we pray for Israel. All of our missionary families, our preacher friends, our prayer requests here in this church. We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. At the cross, where I first saw the light. All gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, refers to this great time in the life of Christ and for the life of the sinner. You see, at the death of the cross, I want to say in verse 33, you'll see there is the way of the cross. Can I tell you, the way of the cross still leads home. It's not a book that Oprah Winfrey wrote or that Dr. Phil suggests or what society thinks. There's still one way to heaven today, and He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The way of the cross, in verse 33, the Bible said, and when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. Here, Golgotha and Calvary is the same term, the same place. Right outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, there was a Roman cross. And the way of the cross, it was a prominent place. It was a place of the skull. Many commentators said that many were taken there to die. You could see the remnants of life, the skulls, the bones. But on this particular place, it was prominent. It is a place where Jesus was hanging, where Jesus would die. It was a place where justice was served. It was a place there when the sentence was carried out that when they were hung and crucified, it was such a prominent place that everybody knew this place of the skull. They could identify where death was going to take place. Can I say, is a place where justice was served. The sentence was carried out, and there was our sins upon the Savior. And there, He that had never known sin, Amen. He that was the Lamb of God, He was going to pay the sin debt for the whole world. It was a place where justice would be served. It was a prominent place. But then secondly, it was a permanent place. You went there to die. You did not go there to live. You did not go there to return. Most of the commentators will tell you that it took from 2 to 4 days for the average crucified one to die. But here in this permanent place, Jesus went there to die, but He went there so we could live. Thank God I'm saved. I'm headed toward heaven, and it is a permanent place. What Jesus done one time is sufficient for all eternity. He'll never have to die again. There'll never be a bull that will shed His blood. There'll never be any type of sprinkling. What Jesus done on this day is permanent, and it is forever. He'll never have to die again. The way of the cross was a prominent place. It was a permanent place, but it was a public place. You see, you hung there in public shame. Jesus, the Bible describes them as the thieves or the malefactors, the same word in the Bible. They were thieves, and here in this place of the community, this place that was public, there they put Jesus in the midst of two thieves. Some of the theologians said that through Pilate, and Pilate there is a member of Rome, and the Jews were against Jesus. Rome was against Jesus, and so they thought maybe perhaps that Pilate took and put Jesus right between two thieves for mockery and shame. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the middle man? Aren't you glad He is our go-between? Aren't you glad He'll grab a hold of God and grab a hold of us and bring us together only by the way of Calvary? Here it was, a prominent place. It was a public place. But in Isaiah 53:3, it was a prophetic place. Before Calvary ever happened, God had a plan. It's always amazed me that the old prophet Isaiah wrote about it, but yet he never did know about Jesus. But the Spirit of God had moved upon the writer. And here's the Lord is proclaiming Himself in Isaiah 53. He says, "He is despised and rejected of men." Talking about a prophetic place, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep. We all stand even at Calvary. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shears is dumb. So be he openeth not his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see the death of the cross. We see this way of this cross. It was a public place, but it was a prophetic place. Here, the writer, way before Jesus was ever born, he prophesied that he would be led as a lamb to the slaughter, that he would bear the burden of sin for all of mankind. Can I tell you, Calvary was not an accident. Calvary was a plan that God put in place, and the will of God would be brought to pass. Here at the cross, we see the way of the cross. But then secondly, back to our text in Matthew 27, notice there the wounds of the cross. The wounds of the cross. Verse 35, they crucified him. Could you imagine being put to death by crucifixion? As I said earlier, some of the writers said from 2 to 4 days was the average time that people would hang on the cross. That's one reason the Roman soldiers would guard so strict. If they had put them on the cross and left, their family members or friends would come and get them down. But can I tell you this morning, within this text, there they crucified him, there the wounds of the cross. Could you imagine as they nailed the Lord Jesus, his hands and his feet, hung him up between heaven and earth on an old Roman cross? Can you imagine the wounds that Jesus suffered? Could you imagine the mental things that was going on in the Lord's mind? The wounds of Calvary. The wounds of the cross. Matter of fact, in Psalms 129, he said something about this phrase. Psalms 129, verse 3, listen to what it says. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Friends, the cross is a lot more than what people are wearing around their neck. The cross was a very brutal and inhumane thing that happened on the day of crucifixion. You see, the main thing about that of a crucifixion, they would lay the cross down. They would bring the person to be crucified. They'd lay them upon the cross. First, they would nail each hand to the cross. Then they would take their left foot and they'd cross their right foot over it, and they'd nail the nail through the ankle and the foot. They'd take that cross and put it in a hole, and when they pushed it up and it hit the bottom of the hole, it tore the flesh and the bone. And one of the commentators said that they could simply inhale, but they had to push up in order to exhale. So what happened? There's a smothering process would take place. Their organs would fill with fluid, and they would simply die one of the cruelest deaths that's ever been made known to man. I could understand why folks like me and you had been put on a cross, but I could never understand how one that had never known sin, the one that was the perfect Lamb of God, that was nailed to a tree and died for you and me. That's an amazing thing in my Bible. You see the wounds of the cross. They were plowing wounds. He said they plowed furrows in my back as they whipped me and beat me. They were not only plowing wounds, but they were very painful wounds. But I want to say, thirdly, they were permanent wounds. For when we get to heaven, you know, one of the ways we're going to know that it's Jesus, when we run around, we're not going to wonder, can we find Jesus? He's going to be the one that's still bearing the scars in his hand. The scar in his side, upon his feet. There'll be nobody confused about where Jesus is. And can I tell you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to ask Jesus no questions either. You're just going to bow down and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, and we're going to praise Him forever. Some of y'all better get used to worship, because it ain't going to be no quiet side and no loud side in heaven. It's going to be loud everywhere. We're going to praise Him forever. The cross. The cross. We see the way of the cross. The wounds of the cross. But thirdly in the text, look at the writing on the cross. They put a sign upon Jesus. They done this sort of to make fun, to get even with the Jews. The Bible said in verse number 37, they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is the King of the Jews." The writing of the cross. That is the first track that had ever been exposed to mankind. As he was led down the road going to Calvary's Hill, there, those that were fixing to be crucified, they would have on a sign the reason they were going there. Can I tell you, Jesus came as a king. He left as a king, and He's coming back as king. He is King Jesus. And honey, the White House ain't taking His throne. Your house ain't taking His throne. He's still on the throne, ruling and reigning as it pleases Him. And I say hallelujah to King Jesus this morning. There was the writing on the cross. In one of the Gospels, it says it was written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. There, every nationality, as they seen it, they could read it and realize that God was trying to let them know, this is the King of the Jews. Can I tell you today, if the gospel message, if it's ever been a day and an hour when it needs to go out, it is this hour. Jesus died for sinners. And God's love is ever abounding. There's the way of the cross, the wounds of the cross, the writing of the cross, but look at the watching of the cross. The Bible simply said in verse number 36, "And sitting down they watched Him there." There were different groups of people there that day. There were the soldiers that I've told you about. Their job was guarding. They had a very low pay scale. Matter of fact, that's why that they were gambling for the garment of Jesus. One of the writers says that He was in a seamless garment. They did not want to tear it. That day, they were very much in poverty, and just one piece of clothing was big to them. They didn't want to tear His garment, so they gambled for it at the foot of the cross. Can I tell you today, there's still a lot of people gambling at the foot of the cross. And if you gamble about eternity without Jesus, you're going to lose, and hell will be your home. And the cross is no place to gamble. It is a place to believe and submit our lives to One who hung and died for us. There was the people that was watching that day. Not only was it the Roman soldiers, the Roman guards, but there was the mother of Jesus. There was Mary, his aunt, and there was Mary the Magdalene, whom Jesus had saved from an awful pass. And there was John, one of the disciples. There was a lot of people watching him there. You know, I'm glad today that I'm not in the crowd that's gazing. I'm glad I'm not in the crowd that is gambling. But I am in the crowd that is gathering, looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Can you imagine the heckles that was said from this crowd as they were passing by? The streets of Jerusalem was very busy. People was coming through. They didn't even know about Jesus, but yet no doubt many had hard gestures to say to Him. So many were the foot. They were gambling, taking chances. Don't leave this life without Jesus. Young people, you listen, this old country preacher. Don't you die without Jesus. Old person, don't you die without Jesus. It's very important. The way of the cross. The wounds. The writing. The watchers. But lastly, in verse 45 and 50, there's the wonders of the cross. Some of you that were here Wednesday night, you heard Brother Philip preach and use an illustration about a man flying. The pilot had sort of not sure what had happened with him, but he had passed out. A man riding the plane had to land it. He couldn't get in, but he had someone on the radio bringing him to a runway. The runway was lit up like a cross. He said, if you'll listen to me, I'll talk you down safely. Land upon this cross, this lidded area. Can I tell you, the cross is still the way home this morning. And so here in this great wonders of the cross, I want you to look in verse 45. The Bible simply says this. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calls for Elias. Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. John's gospel, he cried, it is finished. You see, the wonders of the cross. Look in 2 Corinthians now, three texts, and I'm done. I want you to see it, underline it in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, on the wonder of the cross. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I want you to listen to this passage. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live to themselves, but in him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. Now, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Look, isn't that amazing? He hath made Him to be sin for us. Me and you should have been on that cross. But He put your sin and my sin upon His Son. And He judged those sins. Christ shed His blood. And I sure am glad His blood has made me clean this morning. You see, Romans 5 and 12. This explains the gospel so well. Romans 5 and 12. So, preacher, why do we must be born again? The Bible said we must be born again. Why would He say that? Why do we have to be saved? Because in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, for by one man sin entered in the world, talking about Adam, our forefather. What's this? And death by sin. And here's why every one of us is going to die. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know why we're all going to die? Because of sin. None of us are going to escape it. These bodies are headed back to the ground. And when we die, we're going to meet God. And if we're saved, we go to heaven. If we're lost, we go to hell. The Bible said, verse 15, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. We were all condemned under Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Adam brought us death, but Jesus has brought us life. And so He says this, therefore is by the offense of one, judgment came on all men to condemnation. Even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so that by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Then the last text, 1 Timothy 2 and 3. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Miss Emily, I want you to come this morning and sing us a song if you would. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 3, talking about the wonders of the cross. You ought to underline this right here in your Bible. Be aware of where it is and what it is. It's very important. Talking about the wonders of Calvary. He says in 1 Timothy 2 and 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Isn't that something? And come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, it may be the reason God sent this sermon to us this morning. In my opinion, America has become very void of truth. Many churches no longer preach truth. This is the truth of the story. We're born sinners. We're in bad shape. Doing things that we're so ashamed of. But God had a plan. He sent His Son to the old Roman cross. He took your sin and my sin and put on His Son, and He died He paid the ultimate sacrifice that would please the Father. And that's the only thing that pleases Him. It's the blood of His Son. God had seen the blood of bulls and goats for centuries. But it wasn't sufficient. He sent His Son. Now watch your Bible. For there is one God. One mediator or go-between. Intercessor. Between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. To be testified in due time. He paid the price for me. When we sing about the cross, it ought not be just another song in the book. It's a very special place where God made a way for you and me to get to Him. You can say whatever you want to say. Muslims believe in God, but they cannot get to God except by God's Son. Therefore, they cannot know the God of this Bible. You may be a good person, but I want to tell you what the Bible says. There's none good. No, not one. Some of the hardest people to reach with the gospel is good moral people. There's nobody here can live good enough to get to heaven. We can get there by mercy. Grace. You know these two thieves that was hung by Him, Jesus in the middle? Matthew don't even speak really of what they did. But Luke's gospel, one of them said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Preacher, what does all this really mean? Because He died for us. He's the mediator, the intercessor. He can reach up to God. Reach down to you. Preacher, how low can He reach? I know He reached real low for me. Bring us together and unite us. Simply by Calvary. Now I ask you this, and I'm done. Are you saved? What about your children? What about your family member? What about your friend? You prayed for them lately? It's amazing what prayer does. I've been praying for a man specifically. He called me Friday. He said, you won't believe what just happened. What I see is God working behind the scenes. Aren't you glad it was a God working behind the scenes in your life? I was a young kid, got in a bad car wreck. I'm glad God didn't take my life. I had a gun go off in my face. God spared my life. Many people I graduated with, they're not here today. They've met God. Are you ready to meet Him? He loves you. If you'd come to him simply by faith, he'd forgive you and receive you. My sister's going to sing. Maybe somebody you want to pray for today, just between you and the Lord. If you've never been saved, would you come by faith? I'll pray with you. Don't die and go to hell in your sins. Come to Jesus while we sing. Whatever you need this morning, you come. Thank God for Calvary.